Hey, great day, and welcome back to the podcast. And so this is an epic celebration. We are in season two of this podcast. And so I'm super excited to introduce season two. We are going to be talking about how can you be more highly qualified to get the life, the business, and the career that you desire. And so what you will notice is that some episodes may have some homework activities. Some of them will feel like we're being Wi-Fi BFFs. And I'm going to really talk to you about how you can show up as the best version of yourself. You may also hear me talk about the words lesson and podcast episode interchangeably, primarily because I see this season two more as a podcast course that will walk you through a journey. But I'm really excited for season two. I hope that you are as well. So let's go ahead and get into today's podcast episode. Hey, my name is Dr. TK, and on this podcast show, we will uncover abundant tools to help you become the CEO of your business and your life. I am a mom and wife who merged my knowledge as a clinical psychologist and professor for over 20 years into building a multi-six-figure mental health business and seven-figure digital product business, serving others and doing what I love. Now, I believe that you can make a wildly abundant living unapologetically while also dreaming big, enjoying life, and making a huge impact in your community. This is the Therapists Deserve Abundance podcast. Hey, great day, and welcome to a new lesson. This is Dr. TK. So I am super excited to talk about this particular topic because we are going to be diving a bit deeper in terms of who were you before your current title existed. And so when I say title, I mean it can be your licensure type. It can be the title that you hold in the profession that you are in. It can also be your title in your business, like CEO, president of a company, founder, or if it's at a 9-to-5 job or a part-time job, it would be the title, for example, that's on your paycheck stub, right? So in this episode, I want to go deeper into you looking at yourself from a very introspective perspective, that's a tongue twister, to review what traits you currently have and possess, and that honestly you've possessed for your entire lifetime, that can either help or hinder you from reaching your goals. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory in terms of what really got my juices flowing as it relates to this topic. And it was probably a year ago from the time that I'm recording this lesson. And one of my good friends, they had asked, how did you become so focused in business? And of course, they knew me while I was in school. And so this individual had been part of some high-level masterminds where their mentors and coaches and counterparts were having seven-figure months, okay? It was like really, really big, okay? So from a financial perspective, you're definitely around high earners. And we can only assume that if somebody is generating that much revenue in their business, and they have a great team, they have great systems, they have a great product line, we can only assume that they have to have something that the general public does not have, right? So she had asked me one day when we were talking, you know, how did you become so focused? She specifically used the word discipline. And she ended up in that conversation putting me in a category with these other seven and eight figure earners and mentors of hers. And initially, not to, you know, crap on myself perspective, but, you know, I initially did not see how I was on the same level because I was looking at it more from a financial perspective. And I was like, okay, I don't have seven figure months. That would be great. But what she was really speaking to was the characteristics and traits that they show up with, how she sees them show up in their zone of genius. And she saw the same thing within me. So I hope that by me sharing this narrative with you, that you will start to look into yourself and be able to determine what traits are great that maybe you want to double down on. So initially when I answered her question, I was one shocked, but then I said, oh, because of my why. And what I meant by that is during different seasons of my career, my why may have been for myself in terms of, you know, becoming more independent, because I did go through a period where I was going through a divorce. I had been with that person for pretty much my entire 20s into the beginning of my 30s. And so that's a long time, while also having all of these milestone changes in my life. It was like a big deal to finally be able to have a great job, be able to be licensed, and during that season, also be going through turmoil that had been there, but it kind of like blew up in my face, or blew up in our face, you know, during that last year. And so I was my why in one season, then moving into my current marriage. But, you know, that was honestly my only boyfriend since my past divorce. And so I just started dating or whatnot. And so my why transitioned to my future, my career, my business. Then when I wanted to have a child and I went through that process, that became my why. Then when I had my son to current date, family abundance, life experiences, me wanting to have no regrets is currently my why as of today. But over time, I knew that I really needed to think about the question she was actually asking me on a deeper level, because in so many words, my clients and my community would ask me the same thing. And I realized that I really had not sat and learned how to answer that question, because I just didn't expect people to ask me that question, right? So some of the things that came up for me is that I grew up in a home where excellence was expected. Excellence for us, my family, looked a little bit different. One of the expectations was, if you're on time, you can kind of get where I'm going here, then you're late, right? So if I have to be somewhere at 10 and I show up at 10, I'm actually 15 minutes late. Okay. Also, one of the things that I experienced as a child is when I did get into some trouble, I didn't get into a lot, but when I did get into trouble, mostly at school, my punishment from my mom living in a single parent household and then sharing responsibility with my grandparents because she was working two jobs at the time, pretty much throughout my childhood, my punishment was reading, getting ahead in math class to the point where I became like a peer tutor by default, because if I was on punishment for a month, I end up being like four chapters ahead of all the students in the classroom. And initially I was just like, oh my God, this is like a horrible punishment. But then when the teacher said, how do you know all this? And y'all, I was self-taught. Like, my mom did not sit down and say like, okay, this is how you do this. She was like, here's the book. What chapter are you on? I'm like, this chapter. Okay, well then you're going to do all of these chapters. And I'm like, what? Now, the math back then was not the math back, you know, now. And so I just figured out a way to teach myself. But think about, if you do know me from online platforms, virtual or in-person events, or maybe you're part of any of my other programs, think about how I show up now as I am sharing this information, because I want you to do the same thing for yourself. Okay. Another thing that came to mind is in my grandparents' house, this was not the case in my mother's house, but when we would wake up, meaning me and cousins or my uncles, because we were about 11 to 14 years apart, me and my mom's younger brother, so it felt like they were my siblings at some point, we could not go to the kitchen table. We cannot go in the kitchen to eat breakfast at the table. There was no eating in the living room or anything like that. But we were unable to pretty much do anything unless we were fully put together. We had to be fully dressed. We could not go eat breakfast or cereal early in the morning and watch TV simultaneously with our pajamas on. That was a no-go. Now, granted, my mom was not that strict, but that was also the house that she grew up in as well, you know? So I realized that as I started also talking to my friend more about like those patterns and my history, I realized that, one, I definitely grew up around individuals in which rules were on a pedestal, right? Like, you don't go out of these boundary lines, which can create hardcore discipline, right? I was also being modeled how to be integral. And right now, that is my number one core value in my business. It literally, truth be told, it irks me if, you know, we serve human services providers mostly in our company. And when I see that a customer or client or student is not, for example, integral with either communication or a payment plan, the first thing that comes to mind is, you really want to be mindful about what you dish out to others, because you also are running a business. You also have payments or invoices or super bills if you bill insurance to go out. And it's expected that you get paid for the work that you do because, you know, you and that person made a commitment with, for example, payments. Or if you're going through something and something gets in the way of you making that payment or whatever the case may be, I'm a real big advocate for taking responsibility for your actions, taking ownership for what you do and how you show up. It doesn't mean that the other person did not play a role, but at least do some self-reflection. And to me, I learned a lot of that in grad school, you know, becoming a psychologist, but I just grew up around people that your word is your bond. Okay. Now I recognize that things like following rules and being integral are great traits. But what I also know is that every positive has a negative. That's just the way the world works. So when you have a great trait, it can have an opposite effect. So mine would be perfectionism. Now I'm not saying that I had anxiety around things being perfect. I also am not the person that will hold on to an idea until I build it all out in my business until it's quote unquote perfect. But I also have a picture in my mind sometimes of how things are supposed to turn out. And in adulthood, I have really had or chose to work through going through the flow, being more spontaneous, because my whole life, if things were not planned out, I started to notice as an adult that it started to cause some anxiety. So after I was around people who were doing things on the whim and knowing that everything didn't have to be planned, you know, either two things would happen. Either one, let's just say if it's a trip, I'm like, well, there has to be some planning because I'm not paying double the amount for a plane ticket. Like, that's just crazy, right? So in those aspects, I feel like my rules or planning were right on time. But then in other areas, I also didn't want to be that person where if we go out, every single thing that we do has to be planned, because not only will that cause anxiety for me being the planner, it will also cause anxiety for other people to fit into that box. So you really want to be mindful of what traits you hold on to that is serving you and not serving you. And truth be told, I still have trouble to this day. I'm human. Things are going to come up and I will have to check myself. Is this a time where I may want to step in or share responsibilities and do some planning or create some structure? Or is this a time where I lay back or, matter of fact, let somebody else take the, you know, take the lead? So I realize over time, even in business, that a lot of people have been successful in business based on how they choose to show up. I know for myself, I choose to show up with integrity, but I also like to have fun. Now, another reason why I'm sharing this with you is because it opened up the door to me and a good friend, along with other, you know, individuals in my circle, to talk about what is the difference between someone who is investing in themselves and gets the best results compared to someone who still may invest in themselves, but they may externalize the blame or may feel like you're not getting what you signed up to get. And again, it's twofold. So when I look at myself going into, for example, a coaching program or a mastermind where there is no course, we're just coming together maybe every quarter to explore and push one another toward our dreams and our desires in our business, right? I have taken on the knowledge and acceptance that there are two sides to my success. The program that I chose to invest in, they're going to provide some type of structure based on what I need. And if we're a good match, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, and I'm going to join and participate. It's not or, it's and. I can also be the person that invests. It doesn't matter how much money I spend. And if I don't get what I thought I was going to get out, I may then turn around, and I've never done this, but somebody can turn around and blame the program, the coach, the structure or lack thereof, whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying that there has not been not so great programs. I've joined them. But then if there's a program that I've ever joined and I didn't get the outcome that I desired and I show up, I ask questions, I watch the replay if I can't go live, I join the community, I utilize the community, all those things, I will still look at, okay, well, why did I even make the decision to join this program? Was it FOMO, fear of missing out? Did I not do my due diligence and look in my vault to see if I already had this information in another program? Maybe I was seeking something beyond the course, like relationships with, let's just say, women, because all the other programs, let's just say, had men, right? So it just really depends on what you're looking for. But I'm sharing this with you because I want you to assess how you show up when it's time for you to get something out of it, right? So you also want to be careful that when you do compare yourself to other people, it will, I'm gonna say, spiral your thoughts totally out of control. And I know for myself, if I have ever, and I have sometimes compared myself to other people, I have to check myself and say, hey, why don't you go and research this person if you like where they are right now? And why don't you go see if you can find their beginning story? Because it is something humbling about when someone can share their journey versus just only showing the last 3% of all of their wins, right? So I know that my work ethic definitely came from my family, the people who raised me. I also know that it was followed up by the academic settings that I was in. You know, I just so happened to have some strict teachers. So it was like the pattern just kept being reinforced. And then I also believe that if we're talking about like focus and follow through, the same skill set in terms of being integral in my business, showing up and going all in, even when I'm scared, that has shown up throughout my life. And now it's showing up in my business. So again, I want to ask you, who were you before your title, before your licensure? And odds are, if you are currently unconsciously aware, that could mean that the same traits and behaviors that potentially is standing in the way of whatever you're working on in your next season to blow up in a very good way, or maybe even experience a quantum leap, odds are if you don't recognize what traits you want to double down on, what traits you want to enhance or heck get rid of, like procrastination, then it's going to keep coming up. So before we wrap up today, I want to share with you briefly the stages of change, right? And this is something that a lot of mental health providers are exposed to, but I just want to share it as it relates to our behavior, not necessarily the general public's behavior. So if my goal is to work on, let's just say if I'm a procrastinator, right? I first need to go through phase one, stage one, which is pre-contemplation. Pre-contemplation is you're in denial. So somebody may say, oh my gosh, you always procrastinate. And your statement may be, well, I still get it done on time, because that's a negative reinforcement pattern and trait that I know I've talked to people in the professional field. And that has not served them at certain points in their business, but because it served them throughout their entire life and it's now starting to catch up with them, now they have to learn a new adaptable behavior after they're 30. That's a lot of rewiring, right? And undoing, okay? So the second phase is, now that this person is aware that procrastination is getting the best of me, now they have to decide if they want to change it. That's contemplation. That is the person is straddling the fence. They're ambivalent. Then in stage three or phase three, that is the person who is determined. Okay, I know I got a procrastination problem. I know I wait to the last minute. I'm ready to make the decisions to change. I just need to find the person who could help me, the system, the book, the online course, the event that can help shake this out of me, right? And so if we're looking at it from a therapy perspective, that's when the therapy starts. If we're looking at it from a business growth or career growth perspective, that's where you will go looking for the teacher or the program or the book or the podcast. And you will know when you hear it and have a good match because you become green lighter, ready to go. You're determined, but you need somebody to guide you. The fourth phase, so we got denial, we have acceptance, we have determined, I want, well, we have ambivalence, we have determination. And then the next one is clearly action. So phase four is, now that you found the teacher, now it's time to show up. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get back. It's like a boomerang, but delayed. Okay. So you have to put in the action. Faith without works is dead. Okay. So once you do the action, the next stage is maintenance. Maintain your results. Now, granted, every season may look different. Reading books may have got you here, but maybe your time, you may prefer audiobooks, right? Maybe you prefer to go to live events and get everything in one day, okay? The last stage, which is inevitable, which means it's going to happen, is relapse. So relapse means you go back through the cycle. However, that does not mean that you start from the very beginning. It's really about, are you truly ready to change this behavior, this trait that you have, to be closer to the higher version of yourself, the highly qualified version of yourself? And if you're determined, maybe just the way that you were thinking about it did not work in that moment with that situation. So it doesn't mean you're in denial. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're ambivalent unless you change your mind. But it could mean that you need another set of tools in phase three to then take action again. And I just wanted to explain that, because sometimes when we are looking within and working on ourselves, if one mishap happens, you feel like, oh my gosh, I've taken one step forward and 10 steps back. And you feel like you can never get back to that place. But odds are, if you have the skill set to be able to be successful in whatever area we're talking about here in terms of enhancement or changes, then you can always get back there. But at the end of the day, it's totally up to you. Okay. So I'm going to link up some of these notes in the show notes, specifically around the five stages of change according to motivational interviewing. And I will also just pose the question to look deeply inside and think about over your lifetime, maybe when was the first time you recognized identify what one problem trait is for you, okay, that you want to enhance, okay? Once you identify that one, like procrastination, then go back to your history. Go back to before you were an adult. How long has this problem been there to your awareness? And then just write down, when I say a timeline, I mean every age that thing has come up and potentially hindered you in some type of way, even though you may have still pushed through it. Because at some point, the hill that you're climbing is going to get harder and harder and harder. And even if you get to the top of the hill, one of the issues that you may face is that you're going to be stuck at the top of the hill. Because I think that some people get it mixed up with, well, you know, I have a popping business, for example, and I'm like, okay, do you have systems? And they're like, no, but I'm making money. And I'm like, okay, so that means that when you're gone, your business doesn't make money. And it's like you could hear a pin drop, because I brought something up that they knew about, but maybe they weren't willing to accept it, or they don't want to slow down to actually create it so that they can grow some more. Okay. So I hope that you've enjoyed this lesson. I will see you in the next one. Make sure that you check out the show notes for your Take Fast Action, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye. Fire me up. You just finished another epic episode of the Therapist Deserve Abundance podcast. Now, I know what you're thinking. That flew by way too fast. So if you want more, please head down to the show notes for additional abundant resources. And if you're looking for a new tribe of abundant therapists just like yourself to connect with me on Instagram at Dr. TK Psych. Until the next episode, live abundantly.